to tell you something before I go into this prayer, and that is that this is no ordinary praise. You got to get that in your mind. This is not an ordinary praise because you made it from Sunday to Sunday. I know some people that didn't. I don't know about you, but I know some people that didn't. So when you begin to think on the idea, don't let it be that I spent more time getting ready for church than what I'm going to do in church. You know, don't let it be that I spent more time concerned about what I was going to put on, how I was going to comb my hair, what I was going to do after. Because I want to tell you and I want to encourage you this morning that God let us stand still about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and we weren't able to move and go out and be creative and worship God where we wanted and how we wanted. He had us confined to a place. And that place was your home, but you know what? The church was there too, because he said that we are the church. But I want to tell you this before I go into prayer. If you could think about the idea that when Moses went up into the mountain, that he was with God. You've been with God because you've been at home with God, and you had no choice but to depend on God during these COVID times, as they call them. Because there's no cure. There wasn't a shot. All you had to do was call upon the name of the Lord, and he provided. Because you know what? Even if you got it, guess what? You're here. You're blessed. You're in the presence of God, and he took care of you. But when I think about the idea that Moses had to come down out the mountain, we had to come out of our houses one more time. We had to come out. But when he came out from the mountain, he had been with God, and the glory of God shone upon him so much that the people could not look at him. That's the way the people of God ought to be. God has allowed us to come out, and we ought to be able not, when you messed up, but guess what? Take it off. Because God says that my word shall go forth. My word shall stand in the last days. And it's standing, it's speaking, and he's good. I don't know where y'all at today, but I want you to know that God is a good God. If he didn't respond like you wanted him to, he spoke. The church say amen, because God has spoken. All that is, all that will be, and all that we're gonna be, God has already ordained it. You gotta say amen. He said that we are his children. You hear me? We are his children. So there is nothing that God can't do. There is nothing that he won't do for us. He said, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then will I heal the land. Has he healed the land? He's hovering. He's hovering. Because you know what? We ain't still in position, so he's hovering. When he lets go of his power, if God was to release his hand right now, you think you saw a year. You hadn't seen if God just, I ain't going to even say remove his hand. If he just let up the pressure on it, do you know what could happen? It could go either way. He could come get us all in a rapture, or he could just say, it's enough. I've had enough. Don't look at me to be strange. I got a reason to praise God. I got a reason to praise God. You know why? Because he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. That's enough for me. Dear Heavenly Father, it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we come to you, Lord God, this morning. God, we come, Lord God, that you would rain down your spirit in this place, Lord God. God, we would ask that you would touch the ear gates of those that are going to hear the word of God. God, we ask that you would bless the man of God that's going to stand, Lord God, and deliver your word, Lord God. We ask that you would open up the ears of your people so that they would hear, Lord God, and that as they came in, Lord God, they will not go back out the same, Lord God. God, we've planted a word here, Lord God. We're going to plant a word, Lord God. We're going to receive a word, Lord God. We're in expectation of what you've given the man of God for us to receive, Lord God. God, and we're believing and we declare and we decree, God, that your word is going to be within us, Lord God. And we're going to be able to endure and we're going to be able to worship you here, Lord God, but we want to be servants when we leave. I ask all these things in thy son Jesus' name, amen. So as I begin, I want to tell y'all I'm going to go to Ephesians 6. I'm not going to read it to you, but I know we all got clothes on this morning, right? Y'all got dressed? Y'all got what y'all want on? You know, you chose it, right? Well, let me tell you, you didn't get dressed if you didn't put on the breastplate and the armor of God. There's an armor of God that we've got to be able to put on to be able to stand in these days. The Bible says that Satan has gone out and he's deceiving and he has trickery. That's not what I said. That's what God said. So Satan is trying to deceive us as to who he is and what he wants us to do. He wants us to point fingers at everybody, the boss, the children, the husband, the wife, the school bus driver. I don't want to leave none of y'all out. The teacher, anybody. He wants us to point fingers at them. But the idea is that we didn't get up and put on everything that God told us to put on. You hear me? He said that we ought to put on his breastplate. And I said I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it so y'all, because I don't think y'all believe me. I want the word to be clear unto you so you don't think that I'm giving you what God would have you to know. It says, "And finally, my brethren," this is Ephesians 6 and 10. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, the devil has set the trap. Not God, not the teacher, not the preacher, not the school bus driver. The devil has set the trap. But let me go on and tell you what God says. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places." I don't have to tell you what's going on in the government right now, right? You know that. You know what the past is. You've seen January the 6th. You've seen all the uprising. You've seen Black Lives Matter. You've seen all the protests, right? You've seen all that, right? So this is what God tells us. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins guarded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." You know, that's the one that gets me, because, you know, without the word of God, we can't do nothing. We're standing on his word. We eat of his word. We live his word. That, and without those things, that we are nothing, nothing. "Above all things, taking the shield of faith with thee, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Y'all, this is the instructions from God. This ain't my instructions. This is God. He's telling us how to get dressed from our head till our feet. He's telling us what to put on to be able to fight in these evil times. They here. I don't care how you look at them. I'm going to glorify God in them, but they're here. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints." I say this and read that so you will know where it's at. It's instructions. It's simple instructions that we all ought to get dressed with every day. Yes. You know, we all ought to carry it around with us and live it every day. That God has crowned our head, and then he said, prep your feet. You know, that means that I need you to get yourself ready for what I got for you to do. I tell y'all better get ready. I know y'all tired because y'all had some good breakfast this morning. I saw it, but I ate before I got here because I'm a morning person. But you got to shake it off. If you want something from God, you got to come with an expectation, people. You got to come with an expectation. You know, my expectation is here. My expectation is in God. My expectation of what I prayed for is here. So I don't have to wait to praise God. I said hallelujah when I seen it. I said hallelujah when I received it. You know, you keep saying it. You got to believe God for who he is. I want to shake y'all loose this morning, but I can't. I can't shake you loose, but I'm going to give you to somebody that I know that can. And that's my bishop. He going to come up here and he going to tear the mic up and the pulpit up. So y'all get ready. I know y'all ready for him, right? So I'm going to introduce to you my bishop, my pastor, Pastor D.A. Hurth.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And after having been given such an introduction, the Holy Spirit is able. But I am a human vessel this morning. I'm a vessel unto the Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just tear me apart, just shred me up, and then put me back together again. Hallelujah today. I praise God. How about you? Let's just give a high praise in this room this morning because God is good. Hallelujah this morning. I thank God for Sunday morning service. We are so well underway to our guests that meet us here each Sunday morning in our Church Without Walls. We're excited. Now, I know that you all are going to probably get tired of hearing that we're having breakfast over here and you're sitting home and you're just getting up, but I told you what to do. Just pull up. Amen. Right. Now what the young people say, just pull up. And when you get here, yeah, we'll be ready to share, amen, in fellowship with you. We had a wonderful time. It's sure beginning to feel like family in this place. Yeah. And in times like this of social distancing and having to watch so much what we do, we can't lose that human touch. We need each other. If we didn't need each other, God would not have created us with such a diversity. He would not have made us so precious, but he didn't make us to become islands, but he wanted us to become collective masses of individuals. Hallelujah, that just show forth his glory. So I say to you, good morning. Welcome to Sunday service. We're excited that you're here. Call up a friend and tell them now to share with you with tuning in, and because we're having some church in this place. This morning I get moved because depending on who you are, it's certain things that just get me right here, okay? Now, some of y'all have to watch, what is that TV channel that I call the tearjerker? Some of y'all have to watch Lifetime, Hallmark, for it to get you right here. That I laugh at that. No, I'm not laughing at it. I'm laughing at you because you're crying because I'm like, you know, they did that so that they could hit you right there. But what do get me right there is when I see someone that I haven't seen in a minute, and I see them coming. And just this morning when I looked out, people come, and it just got me right here. Yeah, it got me right here because it's always good to see people that you haven't seen in a long time. Amen. And to get together in this place. You know, I want to take this moment to spotlight things that are positive, spotlight things that are motivating and driving to us as individuals. And it's always good when we can see that on a global level that people are constantly making moves. You remember last week I talked about collaborating with God, you know, working in partnership with him. No better partner to have than God. When you collaborate with God, you're going to come up with things that are always going to be a great success. And I see that on a national and global level, but when it happens locally, man, then I really, you know, that's a big thing. And especially when it comes to literary work, something that you can put in an individual's hand so that they can read, something that they can meditate on. And God have given us the blessing to have our very own here locally from Decatur, surrounding areas, to release his first literary work, Khalid the Poet. And I don't know in what way you may be acquainted with him, but this morning I want to bring him to share the stage with me too, as he's releasing his first literary work, a collection of poetry, something that is going to give you some console, something that's going to give you some encouragement in times when you need it. So I want to invite him to come up with me today, Khalid the Poet, and we got something special, amen, that we're going to do here this morning. Had a book signing last night, amen. At Turner Searles in Decatur, and I understand that was like a great success last night.
It was. It, it's anybody, even if just one person showed up, it was just a blessing, because what this art that I've been doing has been since I was 12 years old, like way before I got into the career and profession that I do for a living. But you know, you have life hits, and you put your dreams aside, take care of your family and your kids.
Yeah.
But I never stop writing.
Right. Wow. Putting it on the back burner. Somebody here can identify with that. Somebody in here right now got some stuff on the back burner. Oh, Lord. But you turned the heat up on it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And when you turned the heat up on it, it was inside of you always, and I'm sure there was always, without fail, something that could tell you, oh, I can get it later, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I just stayed with it. And I mean, back when I was 20, I'm 40 years old. So back when I was about 20, 21, I kept trying to figure out, how do I get my work copyrighted? How do I get my work copyrighted? And just couldn't break through that door. But after years and years of just, you know, continuing to write, continuing to pursue, and the Lord keeping it in me.
Yes.
Man, I finally, earlier this year, I had my logo trademarked. And then I finally, the Lord blessed the right people to come into my life to be able to figure out how to get published. So if you ever hear some of those people that sing or rap or country music, whatever, they tell you, man, I got music stacked up.
Right.
Because I've been waiting on this opportunity.
Right.
That's me as well. I have. All kind of stuff, just yes, short
up,
stories,
ready,
poems,
yeah.
Just
oh
ready to go, ready to go. So it's coming. Everything is coming now. Man, I'm so happy.
Man, the flow. God is turning. He's open. He's opened the floodgates. So listen, and I listened to something that he said. This is a good time not only for us to be blessed by his presence and to make his introduction today, but let me tell you something. When you see that someone has moved through an open door, don't be ashamed or too proud to walk up and say, hey, how did you do it?
Yes.
And on the other hand, he has to be humble enough to say, I'm going to share this information with you. So if you're out there now, he's going to be, I have an open office when we close, and he's going to be in there autographing some books for us, and you'll have it. Now, let me tell you, don't wait 15 years from now, 20 years from now, and Khalid the poet is somewhere up at one of the big award shows, and you say, man,
I appreciate
that.
I appreciate that.
Because that's where he's on his way to.
You
got an opportunity. If no more than just to sow into him and to get the book to support him. Amen. Don't go get the bootleg copy. There aren't any in there, but get the original copy and sow into it. And what a small price to pay for something that he can say to you and touch you with and bless you with, all right? So make sure that you get this. Now, this is what I want to do. You have an autographed copy in your hand, don't you?
I do.
Along with
right
your
here
gift bag, right?
Yes.
There's some other things in there. I understand
yes
there's a bookmark and
bookmark,
pen.
And the bookmark, actually, I made a poem for the bookmark.
Okay.
So it's his own standalone poem
right
on the bookmark.
On the bookmark.
A lot of detail put into the extra gifts in the bag.
Okay.
So,
all right. Not like I don't know, but I just want you to have your own way to do it. So what's your career path? What are you doing currently?
All right, so right now I've been with Decatur Police Department over 15 years.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
So I have about a little over 9 left before I can retire.
Yeah.
One of the things I enjoy most about it was when I did the community engagement, got to go out to all neighborhoods and get things together. When you came to one of my community events and was a part of that, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing to both of them.
Yes.
So
yes,
I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
But I try, you know, everyone has their own style of policing, and I try to be positive
okay
with what I do.
Right.
And try to touch people put the department in a good light.
Absolutely.
Let people know there's still some good, great officers out there.
Absolutely. We know there are because you're there. All right. Absolutely. And I know that if you wanted to really just reach out and put this in a place where you know it's going to be in good soil, you'd want to put that into the hands of some young person, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And I didn't want to do a raffle. I didn't want to draw no numbers. I just wanted to reach out there and find me a young person and put it in their hands. And no better place than to show today the glory of God than to take a young black man who we know is today in our times, is the odds are stacked against him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Odds are stacked against them. No better thing to do now than to put this in the hands of one of them so that they can be inspired, can be encouraged, and know that everything that they hear in the news is not the way that it says it is, because they'll know at least one officer that they know has a heart of gold and a care for humanity. So I want Tarico to come on up and be the recipient of this autograph book from Officer Khalid Jones. Y'all get your cameras, because I want you to catch this moment. Somebody get it. Make sure you get this. Somebody get this. As he presents this to him, come on, somebody, and give that to him. Amen. Come on, give God another praise. This ain't a chalk line. Hallelujah. This is not a call where something. This is not a code 3 or code 2. This right here is the blessings of God right here. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't know when to get happy and what to get happy over. Hey, the devil is upset and angry because he wanted it to be another statistic, but we just started to turn things around and did our part. Khalid,
yes.
The poet,
yes.
Man, I got my copy. Now, I almost forgot, we have one more, and that's the one I have in my hand also with a gift bag to our Church Without Walls. Now, you're out there, and I think we need to send this one to Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
Cleveland in the house. Now, he's a Motor City guy. He's Detroit.
Yeah.
We're going to send this one still on the lake.
Okay.
A little north, okay?
All right, I got family there.
We're going to send this one to Cleveland, Ohio, to Samuel Hirth.
Yeah.
Because he is our, as we know, our oldest birthright in our Church Without Walls. So we're going to send this to him. And not because his last name is Hirth, just because he's the oldest.
Amen.
And he's so faithful and been with us ever since COVID broke out. So Samuel, you have this copy of Heartstrings of Love that has been written by our very own Khalid the Poet. It's on its way to you. So make sure we get your address. I'm sure you're in there now. You give a shout of amen and let us know that in the online chat that you got this and we got it to you on your way. Anything else, Khalid, you want to?
Just in closing, man, for myself, I just want to thank y'all for having me, to be honest.
Thank
y'all
for
having me. I also want to let anyone out there know, if you want information on getting published or how to go about doing things or how I did it, just holler at me.
All right.
Because I believe in, you know, why take it to the grave? I want to help as many people
Why
as I can.
Why take it to the grave?
Yep. I want to help as many people as I can.
Yep. All right. God bless you, man.
Thank you so much.
Love you. All right. God bless you.
Contact information?
Contact information.
Okay. All right. So you can follow me on Facebook. It's going to be under Poetry Made For You. And then also, I have another page on Facebook, Khalid McCants. You can find me on there. Email is Mr. Jones, JAYY@gmail.com, and then the phone number also is 256-565-4720.
You have the number one more time.
256-565-4720.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless
you,
man. Thank you. Oh, man. Come on. Give God a great praise here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. Oh, it's churches service is so underway. Isn't that awesome? And then I want, as often as I can, just to spotlight something positive. It goes along with the word that I preach every week. Amen. Did y'all enjoy breakfast this morning?
Amen.
Y'all that are coming late, man, that got here, y'all didn't know about the breakfast. I know that we have some leftovers because we get plenty of food here on Sunday mornings. Amen. But God is a good God. Y'all know what? This is what I want to tell the Lord this morning. I don't mind waiting. Because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't mind waiting. Yeah. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind. Mind waiting. Yeah. I don't mind I want to say that one more time. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. Let me tell y'all why I say that. Because while I'm waiting, I want to ask God to do this also. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, who do not pass me by, and I'm a crying Savior. Oh, Savior, want you to hear my humble while on others now are calling. Please. Oh, shucks. Y'all don't know how to call him Savior. If you know how to call him Savior, open your mouth. I'm crying. Church this morning. While on others now I call it. Please, Lord Jesus, do not. Can I get at least half the church to stand on their feet today? And let's say it together. Oh, I'm crying. My Savior, do not hear my humble, and why on earth now I call. Somebody say, here I am, Lord. Do not. Oh, we may as well go to church. My soul says yes, Lord. Come on, that's right. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Come on. My soul said yes. You got to have it. Since you're here, you may as well go ahead and get it out. Since you had to outrun the devil all week long, you may as well get right here and go ahead and let the devil know everything that you meant to stop and block.
Sometimes the devil needs to learn something about you. You do better to leave me alone and let me fall in my own honorary pride. But when you put me on the chase, then you chase me to the Lord. And when I get there, I'm coming with my hands lifted up. I ask the Lord right now. Let me tell you something. Hands lifted up mean that you surrender unto Him. That God, I give up my thoughts and my ways. And God, I want you to work it out for me. I need to talk to somebody this morning. I'm not preaching yet, but I'm on my way to do just that. Don't get tired of surrendering over the same thing over and over again. I know people tell you that at some point you ought to get it together. That's because the Lord has delivered them. But to those of you that are still out there having to go to God over and over about the same thing, I need a sanctified person this morning to tell them, keep on going. Come on, say it one more time. Say, keep on going. It don't matter how many times you have to go. The same thing over and over again. You all don't realize that there are some things that I didn't come out of until I was 60 years old. God have let me live for 65 years, and I'm still coming out. I'm still saying, Lord, I need you to deliver me. Now, I want you to point at somebody and tell them, keep on coming back. It don't make any difference how many times you have to come back, but just keep on coming back. Now, somebody, won't he will? I need y'all to say, yes, he will. I say, won't he will? I said, won't he will? I say, won't he will? Yes, he will.
You're going to get a breakthrough today. Maybe not everybody, but those that want one going to get one. Because in a minute, they're going to forget you here. And they're going to care less about you being here. They're going to stop trying to be pretty. They're going to forget about being sanctimonious. Let me tell you something about the way that God fixes me. I went to people to help me. And I will agree that they did help me. But their help was limited. And there was a point that they could only get me so far. And then what I discovered is that I had to go find me somebody else to get me a little bit farther and get me a little bit farther. And what they were doing is every time I get propped up on one side, I'd fall down on another side. Let me tell y'all something about good that's about the God that I serve. When he fixes you, he fixes you from head to toe, from the inside to the outside. Won't he will? I said, won't he will? He fixed everything. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And I am still a work in progress. But I want to tell y'all this, and then we're going to move on to this message today. I want to tell y'all this. Y'all be patient with me. Because God is not through. I feel a dance coming on. Listen. I say, God is not through. Now tell your neighbor, if you're close to somebody, God is not through with me yet. Now tell them to please be patient with me. Khalid, don't judge me. But just be patient with me. I'm a work in progress. I got some stuff that got to come together. But I need you to please be patient with me. Come on, don't y'all judge me. And don't look down on me unless you're trying to lift me up. Don't look cross-eyed at me unless you're trying to pick me up. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. Say yes, Lord. Ain't he a good God? Is he a real good God? Is he a good God? I say God is a good God. God is a good God. Real good God. Real good God. I say God is a good God. God is a good God. He's a real good God. Real good God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I know he is. Yes, he is. God is a good God.
Yes, he is. Thank God I know he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I know he is. I know he is. I know he is. I know he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Come on. Just like fire. Just like fire. Just like fire. Here I go, Brandon. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried mine. Rising, he justified me. One day he... Oh, I thought y'all were saved and sanctified. Y'all saved and conservative. Just like fire. Just like fire. Just like fire. Just like fire. Yes, Lord. Yeah, y'all just put that breakfast to work then. See what it'll do for you? This is the best part of waking up. And I done had my Folgers too. And when I put the Holy Ghost on top of Folgers, oh, y'all just don't know now. Whew. Lord God. Y'all just, and y'all don't realize I'm standing up here and I be ready to run and I can't find nowhere to go. I said, and I don't want to run around in no circle, but I'm sure. I'm ready to go somewhere. There ain't nowhere to go. I don't know why you feel like running. Am I the only one? That's like, when I get happy, I laugh. That's that energy. When I get happy, if I'm laughing, and I will laugh to I can't see because tears, I would just get so tickled. The Holy Ghost makes me laugh and run. I don't know why. Now, if you were there when I got saved back in 19-something, I don't know. It was 19-something. I was on the mourner's bench. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. It's not even important. And when the Lord touched me, I was running in, and I'm like Forrest Gump. I've been running ever since. And if you ask me where I'm going, I don't know. If you ask me why I'm running, all I know is whatever made me get up off that seat. Ooh, I'm going to come down through there in a minute. I ain't coming at you, but I'm coming on around. And I've been running ever since. Didn't I, Janet? I took off running that night, and somebody said, go get him. They couldn't catch me then. Ooh, I was a little chubby, but they couldn't catch me. Holy Ghost got in there with me. Boy, I ran. I'm just trying to tell y'all, when I get happy, I just want to run. I don't know what y'all want to do, but I be wanting to run. And if you see me, and I'm drunk. In the spirit. Go ahead and pull me over, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do the breathalyzer and everything, because I'm telling you, I'm just filled with the Holy Ghost, because I let the steering wheel go. While I do it, I'm glory. And what else will I do? On our way to Anna, pull over and get out the car, woman. And what will I do when I get out? Run. She can't drive. I left her sitting in the car in one of them Vills between Huntsville and Anniston, Albertville. And I pulled over, and it just got, and she know me. She know, don't pay him no attention. And I pulled over politely and got out and just started running. I don't know what we were talking about. Didn't I do it? Because I just want to run. Come on, just give me some running music, even though I may not run. But just...
Still got to get a word from God. I've seen people run and shout and run right on out. They be running, but they get in their car and go home. They shout, and then when they get through holding up the whole service, dancing, they leave. As the Spirit just had them to come and do something. But anyway, when you get finished with all of that, you got to get a word. It's all right to clap your hands. Shout, do your dance, but get a word. Get what I'm saying? And make sure that that word is relevant. That word is a very impacting part in your life. I'm going to invite you to two books in the Bible this morning, the book of Matthew, also the book of Hebrews. Very short verses, but I want to work collaboratively. Two books in the Bible, Matthew and Hebrew. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8. And then secondly, Hebrews chapter 11, and a single verse from there, verse number 6. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, Hebrew 11 and 6. This is familiar to you, and you just maybe didn't know quite where it was, but you knew that it was written where the scripture says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I want to just put a point right there. The ETH on the actions words to ask and to seek and to knock adds the ETH to signify a continued action. Don't stop asking, don't stop seeking, don't stop knocking. Ask if, seek if. Continue doing. Everybody that continues to do that, it's going to be opened. Everything is at the door. The asking is at the door. The seeking is at the door. And then the opening is at the door for the knock. Everything is at the door. And that's why I need you to put yourself in a very imaginative way today is in front of doors. In front of doors. Now, I had to put this here because it's the only way that we're going to get a sense of direction, because there's more to asking than just asking, more than just seeking, and more than just knocking. You've got to know Hebrew 11 and 6, but without faith, there's no need to ask, seek, or not. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must. We just had a controversy over this very word, shall and must, concerning some serious legislation. You would be surprised how shall and must, in regards to them releasing information. This is a legislative issue, and they had to change it because it was too much of a gray area, so they changed it from shall to must. And the Bible is very explicit with this. He says that for he who comes to God must believe that he is, not shall, but must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Now, with all of the ebullience that you can muster up, I want you to recite this after me. That means get excited when you say it. I want you to say this with me: rewards of a finer life. Come on, you can say that one more time. Rewards of a finer life. He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. The rewards of a finer life. Now, this would be a continuation, I guess, or a part two from last week, somewhat, because we said last week, be careful what you ask for, what you wish for. And you remember that it's okay for us, saved folk, believers, to wish, because wishing is simply a human emotion. Jesus used the term wish in the book of Revelations, where he said, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. The humanities of Jesus in his divinity, as much as being human, permitted him to use and to choose in his vocabulary the noun wish. However, I want to reiterate that there is a wrong way to wish, which is to make something superior to God, such as I wish upon a star, because a star in and of itself cannot perform anything for you whatsoever. You've got to go to the maker of the star and make your request made known to him, not the star. So when you come to me, remember that I am only a creation of the Creator. Ultimately, you've got to make all of your requests made known to him. So this is kind of a part two, because now we're talking about, after being careful what you wish for, we're dealing with the concept of asking. So I think we should collectively ask the scriptures a question first from Matthew chapter 7. And the question is, do you do all of this at one time, ask, seek, and knock? Or is there sort of a progression that begins with asking and ends up with knocking? I could say begin with receiving and ending up with open doors, or could be beginning with asking and ending up with open doors. And then when you look at it from not so much a theological, but more a practical way, in the way that we know the English language, if you look at this text, how the scripture sort of uses an anagram. Now, like I say, this is not something theological. This is just something that for you to just look at in the text. And I think it's interesting to notice that the A of ask is accompanied with the S of seek, and then the K of knocking. And then you've got ask again. Ask, A, seek, S, and K, knock. And then at the end, you end up simply asking. And I know, like I say, there's no theological significance, but it's interesting that the words, by taking the first letter of each one of them, just comes back to one simple thing, and that is ask. Now, we would have to conclude that the three are connected at the same time. But we wouldn't be off spiritually or intellectually to discuss the fact that even though they are connected, that they are also progressive. They are connected, but they are progressive. Much like the Trinity, they are connected, but they're still progressive. God the Father is connected to God the Son, and God the Son is connected to God the Holy Spirit. But you'll notice that in each of their dispensation and manifestation, they manifest themselves in a concurrent way. Mm-hmm. Connected yet progressive. Yes, God came and created. The Son came and saved. The teacher, the Holy Spirit, came and taught us and kept us. Yes. Connected, but yet progressive. Yes. Can I go farther? Yes. I think that it's imperative to understand that I wouldn't ask for something that I wouldn't seek. I think that it's reasonable to think that after asking, maybe what I might receive immediately is simply a directive. I want to say that one more time because I need you to stay close, get real close. I think that it's easy for me to understand that I wouldn't ask for something that I wouldn't seek. That after asking, maybe what I ask for simply comes to me as a directive. So what I do is I ask something and then I receive direction. So the response to my asking is direction. I submit that very, very gracefully to you, and because I want to work on it. Y'all working me real good this morning. I can hear you listening. See, oft time we ask and then God directs us, because everybody's not asking for a new car. Everybody's not asking for a new house. Everybody's not asking to get booed up. Some are asking because they want direction. Is that all right? Some folk that are broke, their request is not finance. Their request is direction, because I've already had money before and still ended up. So what I need now is a sense of, so that when I get some again, see, because of me asking, I have received. You see, because sometimes people think that they have asked, and because what they asked didn't appear. Who did I just talk that to? Who did I just speak that to? Some of you think that just because you asked and you didn't receive it, and it didn't appear, that God just put you on hold. He just pushed a button on you because you didn't receive after asking. But it's critical to understand that I can ask, and what I receive is a vision. Money still the same? Same car? Same house? Same wife? But now I am a man with a vision. Because what God responded to in my asking was giving me a vision. or I ask and then I receive direction to seek, which will ultimately lead to me knocking on the right door. Because I wouldn't ask if I weren't ready to seek. You see, I ask, then I receive direction, and the direction that I receive now becomes what I seek with the direction that I just received. Don't let me lose you. And so my asking then puts me into a position where I have to seek for that which I ask for. I ask for it, and then he's given me direction by which to achieve that I have asked for. So I have already received what I asked for before I received what I asked for. Did y'all miss it? I received before I received what I asked for. Because the response to my asking was a sense of direction that's going to lead me to what I asked for. So the answer was direction, not, oh my God, the quantity of whatever it is. You see, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a pocket full of money? Or would you rather have a sense of direction so that you can be taken care of and your family for the rest of your life? Would you rather hit the lottery and blow it, or just have God to take care of you from this day forward so that you can say, I was once young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed to beg bread? I just don't know right here. You see, if I receive direction as to how to get it, now that includes another prayer. Did you hear what I said? If I receive direction now, I've already asked, and now I have what? Direction, or I have a vision. So now that includes another prayer. I've already asked, right? I've received directions. Now what am I saying? I'm going to say the fifth stanza, which precedes the sixth. I'm going to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Watch this, because I have direction, but I also need him to lead me not unto temptation, but deliver me from evil. Because what happens here is that I'm praying that the Lord will not allow me in his direction to open the wrong door. God. I'm talking to somebody real good now, because you're saved, but you still have this habit of opening wrong doors. You have a habit of equizing the wrong relationships. You have the habit, you have the habit of seeming to do the same thing over and over again, making the same mistakes. Yeah, so that's called the wrong door. Uh-huh. Yeah, and every time we go through the wrong door, that is a sense or a type of chastisement, because now you're in an uncomfortable place. That's why I say, now, God, that I have asked, I need you to lead me not into temptation. Don't let me act too quickly as you've given me direction. Am I preaching? Uh-huh. So I'm praying this petition from the Lord's Prayer to lead me not into temptation, which follows, watch this, forgive me, because now when I say forgive me, y'all do know the Lord's Prayer, lead me not, yeah, forgive me of my treasure, yeah. I'm asking him to forgive me because I'm asking God, please, I have always been inclined to go where you have not led me. And I end up on the other side of doors that I should not be in. I'm talking about myself now. And so I've got to ask him to forgive me, because I've asked before and you gave me direction before. But what I did is I acted on my own cognizance. Uh-huh. I just took off like a dog who just got released from a chain. I just went around and around, and then don't call me because I'm gone now. I'm loose as a goose, man. I'm just free as a duck. You can't stop me now. I'm talking about myself now. Boy, when as soon as I ask and then God give me direction, I think that I can handle this thing all by myself. Uh-huh. Yeah, you see. So I have to ask him to forgive me. of my former times of not being led by him. And I've been inclined, you notice how I say I, have been inclined to go where God has not led me. I've always taken directions and directives that did not come from you, God. So I need you to forgive me. Mm-hmm. And I need you to lead me. You see, because I, Don, have the propensity to be in the wrong places. And I have the propensity, and I'm not talking about past. I'm talking about today, October the 10th. I have the propensity to receive the wrong direction. After I have asked you, I still have the inclination to go knocking on wrong doors. I said, I have the inclination because I don't want you to think that I'm talking about you. I said, I have the inclination to knock on wrong doors. And so now I have been forgiven for former times not being led by your direction. And what I'm saying now when I pray this prayer is, Lord, I trust you that when I ask you, you will direct me and lead me to the right door. And you will not allow me to open the wrong door. Amen. It's a bad thing opening a wrong door. Have you ever opened? It's like opening a can of worms. It's because once you open them, they're all out. And you can't get them back in there. It's hard to go back and fix some mess that you got your own self into, talking about myself. And you see, I don't care, and this is when I ask, and when I pray to God, I don't care, Lord, how rejected I feel. Let me feel rejected. If I'm sitting up here with a prune sour face, don't let me go into the wrong door. Because I know how to pout. I know how to look when I don't get what I think that I want. So God, don't pay that no attention. I don't care how sad I become, because I've learned in my life that sometimes the worst days of my life is the best days. It's because I learned a good lesson. That Lord, when you get me back out of this, I promise you I won't ever come this way again. You see, sometimes my worst days are my best days because I have discovered that just having a door shut in my face, that's God's way of telling me, don't go that way. So now, I don't know about y'all, but see, I get happy, just as happy when a door is closed as I do when a door is open. Because the only way that a door can be closed is that God is closing it. Because I trust him to open and close doors. He's such a gentleman, God. He's such a gentleman. Not only does he show me the door, but he also opens the door. Oh, I could call John the Revelator. He'd help me out. What would you say, John? John said, I was up in the third heaven. And when I got up there, I saw a door that was opened. Wait a minute, John, what do you mean? Was the door opening? No, man, it was opened. What do you mean it was on its way? No, it was opened. And I could look through the open door, and I could see things that the mouth could not speak. I could see things. You see what God does? Somebody say, you're a mighty God. Because when he opened doors, it gives me access to see where I'm on my way to. So I'm often standing at doors that God have opened, and I'm doing my dance before I go through. Number one, because he opened it. And number two, he's given me access. I need you to tell somebody that you're fond of. Tell them an open door is God's opportunity. And you know, I got to get back to this. That shut door is because the wonderful thing that ever happened to me is being a closed door. I wanted to just stay there and rest a minute because it helps direct me to the right door. Because if it's closed and I've asked, God closed it.
You see, we do not expect that God will open a wrong door. Make a note of that. God will not open a wrong door. He won't do it, right? He will not do it. What will he not do? He will not open a wrong door. So anytime I'm into something and I can't get out of it, that means that God didn't open it. If I'm in it and I can't get out of it, that means that God didn't open it. That's just something that I got up in the chair and I just got it myself. You see, and when I get through that door, it's the wrong place to be. Now I'm going to talk to you and me. It's all right if you have found your place on the wrong side of the wrong door. Because now you're going to suffer, number one, for being in the wrong place. And you can't get out. But you're going to learn something today. When God do get you out of this, you're going to discover that not only was it uncomfortable behind the wrong door, but you have wasted a whole lot of time. You have wasted a whole lot of time. See, some of y'all got on the wrong side of the wrong door 10 years ago. And here you are now. You came in with all black hair. And you're still over there and stuff is turning gray. You came in and everything was tight and right. And now, 10 years later, is loose and can't be put back in. I don't know how to say it without saying it. You see, you've been on the wrong side of the wrong door. And you've been over there too long. You could have turned that thing into an overnighter. But you got on the wrong side of the door and you got comfortable. And you're too ashamed to say, Lord, get me out of this. But I've got a news flash today that CNN, MSNBC, CBS, and ABC ain't told you that God is able and willing to deliver you. No matter where you are. Come on, somebody. Help me preach right here, even though I'm not ready to go in yet. Don't rush me, but just say it. If he can get the Hebrew boys out, he can get... Yeah, if he can walk out on the storm and say peace, somebody say he can get. Now tell your neighbor, you can't get too deep because I was sinking deep in sin. Oh, shucks, y'all. Why y'all making me preach? I may as well just go on because I'm feeling good. Now, you see, not only have I suffered from being in the wrong place, but is there anybody here with me? I've lost some time now. I've lost some time now. All of the gray that's coming out from the color. Y'all don't know. Yeah, I brought that on myself. Some of it wouldn't have been there until a few years from now. But some of it's coming from being on the wrong side of the door. Y'all don't hear me. I got some stuff. Y'all can't see it, but things that don't move like it used to. It's because I stayed on the wrong side too long. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Somebody in here got a limp. And it's a testimony. Can I stay right there for a minute? Because I want you to go ahead and praise God with it. I got a limp right now. Am I staying here too long? Or y'all, go ahead. Then okay, go ahead. Then some of that, it ain't old age just bringing on you. It's what happens when you're on the wrong side of the wrong door. You're impatient, can't put up with nobody. That's because you've been on the wrong side of the wrong door. You're running around with a chip on your shoulder. And I just told you good morning. I don't know why you're looking at me like that. But that's what happens to you when you stay on the wrong side of the wrong door. So now, you see, if I were in the right place, it would be a whole lot better. But this inclination of being all over the place and not following where God leads me is giving me some side effects. And you know, side effects, ain't they bad? I'd rather keep what I had than to take the medication because somebody say side effects. I'm gonna preach that another time. The side effects. Oh, Lord, you see, yeah, when I don't follow God, I end up with side effects. If you got some, just wave quick. Mm-hmm, I saw you. You see, when God does not let me get out of this awful place, I will walk out saying when I do get out, Lord, keep that door shut. Can I work a little harder here? So when I get out of that door, what am I going to pray? Lord, keep that door shut. Look around me. Y'all see all those closed doors? That's because God got them closed. You wondering when I'm going to call you back? God, shut that door. I'm through with that. I ain't through with you, but I'm through with. You want to bring it up? No. Somebody said, that door has been shut. And y'all got them friends who keep want to open up them doors that God already closed. Saying, do you remember what? I ain't going to let you open up. Khalid, if we went back over the history of Decatur, we could bring up some stuff. But God already closed that door. Now tell somebody in your family, that door is closed. You need to be talking to family when you say that, or close friends. That door is closed, never to be opened again, because my blessings are being blocked by dealing with closed doors. I can't get to the right door because I'm dealing with wrong doors. If I were in the right place, you see, I would be in a place of blessing. And I'm asking God now to shut that door. Lord, now I'm out, and I might get mad, but Lord, just let it stay shut. And I want you to open the right door. Now, I got to give a testimony. And to y'all that are judgmental, you can excuse yourself because I'm about to say something about Don. You see, let me tell y'all something about Don. I'm still a man. I was created a man. And I'm going to always be a man. And I know Don. He is Ish. That's the Hebrew word for man. And that Hebrew word is three letters, I-S-H. So now in the English, I'm man, but in the Hebrew, I'm Ish. Run it together for me. Y'all got it. So now I'm put together. I'm both man and I'm Ish. And that's why I need God to stay with Don, because Don, I ain't ready yet, is man, he man-ish. I'm both Hebrew and I am English. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I ain't telling you to watch out. I'm telling God to lead me. Because see, you won't help me. You'll mess around and let me be managed. I need God to help me. You ain't got to tell the truth on Don. Don tell the truth on himself. And I thank God for it, because I'd rather be man than to be gayish. I'm just got to tell it like it is. I'd rather be man. I'm dealing with my own hardships. I'm dealing with my own demons. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying, and my wife gonna deal with me later, but y'all ain't gotta worry about that. She married, and she with me through sickness and health. She prays over me. And the only reason that I done got out of some stuff is not because I'm praying, but it's because I got somebody who knows how to, she know who she married. You can't tell, I'm trying to help somebody here, because y'all ain't preaching, I'm preaching, and you ain't going to tell on yourself anyway. She going to pray for me. She know when to call me and ask me where I am. Not that she checking on me, but she want to remind me that I remember what you needed me to pray for you for. Can I keep going on? So now I don't want that door opened again, because I've learned to wait on God. I don't want to go behind a door that ends up being a prison. Did y'all catch that? You don't ever want to go behind a door that ends up being a prison, because that's not where my blessings are. And if I'm going to be locked up somewhere, I want to be locked up in the right place where the blessings are flowing. I want to be locked up where the blessings can overtake me. I want to be in a place that's designed for me. Y'all don't hear, I'm on my way now. Y'all hear the reward coming. You see, it's critical here then that because of this closed door, I have now learned that not only do I praise God for the open door, but I have learned to praise him for the door that stays shut. Because the shut door keeps me from slipping into something. You see, I would have slipped into something I could not have handled if God didn't keep the door shut. I could have ruined my future because sometimes you get in a door that takes 15 minutes to walk into. Y'all gonna hear this now. It takes you 15 minutes to get into it, but it takes you 15 years to get out. Somebody gonna catch that. Now that's real adult right there. It takes you 15 minutes to get in it, but it takes 15 years to back out. Y'all heard me now? Can I go on? You see, sometimes you stay in a door and you stay there because you're too scared to go out and seek again. But if you just ask, I'm almost there now. Tell your neighbor, just ask. God will give you directions. And if you have the directions, every time you go through a wrong door and you get to a wrong door, then God will stop you right there. Let me get me about four children up here. Send me somebody. Ty, lead the way. Come on, Ty. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Come on, y'all. Run up here, kids. Run up here. Run up here. What you walking for? That's right. Come on here. I need four. There we go. There we go. You stand over there because you door number one and you door number two. Get close to me. Now get real close to me. Let me show you what it's like. Now, do y'all know what a minefield is like? You got to be careful where you step because it's explosive around here, and you've got to be careful how you approach doors. You need God to direct you because you're in the midst of a minefield. So I don't want to go in the door. God says go around that door. So I gotta squeeze through here without going through the door. I'm in the minefield going in and out, but I need God to direct me. Come on, somebody. Because if I step in the wrong place, it's gonna be all over. So I need God while I'm walking to lead me through the wrong place, because I don't want to go through the wrong door. So I want you to tell yourself, I've got trouble on every hand, but if I put my hand in God's hand, you be God. Then you, come on, be God and just lead me. Come on now, don't let me go through the wrong door. Take me on, Lord. Wherever you lead me, I'm gonna follow. Because I'm not going on my own cognition. Wherever you want me to go, you just lead me. I know it looked like I'm going around and around, but you still lead me. Wherever you lead me, I'm going to follow. And if you look at me looking like I think I'm losing my mind, I'm just following God's lead. Am I right about it? Now tell your neighbor, neighbor, if you want to go through the right door, then let God lead you. Thank y'all so much. I'm ready to close now. So I need God's direction. Oh, yes. I need God's to keep the wrong doors closed and open up the right doors. Did y'all hear me? And y'all know what? When God opens the right door, I'm going to stand in the doorway and I'm going to praise him like I'm crazy. If anybody feeling me right there, stand on your feet. Oh, yes. And assume the praising position, because you know now that if God opened the door, I can go through that door. Did y'all hear me? For all of the wrong doors that have been shut, I'm standing in front of the open door and I'm praising him for the door in front of me that's open. And I'm also praising him for every shut door. If you don't know how to dance, just turn around. Oh, yes. If you don't know how to turn around, just hit the 3 and the 9 and rock like this. Oh, yes. But whatever you do, give God praises. Give God praises. At the end of the day, all that matters is that God give me direction. Stay right there. Oh, yes. Now notice in verse number 7, the Bible says, he that asks, it shall be given. And then he repeats it again. He that asketh, oh, yes, he shall receive it. Am I right about it? So right here, this is why he taught me to ask, so that he can give me his direction. So consider then the next aspect of the text. He says, first, I've got to believe that God can direct me. Did y'all hear me? Now, if you're a church and you're a real church, say, preach, Don, because I'm going in, and I will go in like I never went before. Now, if I'm going to ask, I've got to know that God is a rewarder. Oh, yes. Not because I have the knowledge to ask, but he is a rewarder, because God goes crazy because I put my trust in him. Oh, yes. Because I believe that he is a rewarder. Oh, yes. I don't have to ask God nothing, because he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek after him. Y'all don't hear me. Wait a minute. Let me talk to y'all about something that y'all familiar with. Ain't gonna ask you if you ever been to the club. Because most of y'all, if you didn't go there, you're still there. I don't know. But have you ever been there? And you either went there because you were looking, or you went there because you want to be found. One or the other. I'm either there because I want somebody to find me, or I went there because I'm looking for somebody that I can find. But either way, yeah, when you see the right one, I gotta look at Cassie now. Oh, yes. She see me looking with my looking self, and she looking back at me with her looking self, and she gets excited because I'm looking at her. Now she represents what God does. When I look at him, he gets excited every time, and he is a rewarder, because every time, take me higher. Oh, yeah. Every time that I get ready for a new blessing, I look at God, and God looks back at me. Oh, yeah. Where my church at? Oh, yes. And somebody say, it's on now. Lift up your heads unto the hills from which cometh your help. Somebody say, my help. Say, my help come from the Lord. Oh, yes. Somebody say, my help. It come from the Lord. The reason why I have a fine life is not because of my job. It's not because of my education. But it's all because I look at him. And every time that I look at him, every time I look at him, I'm driving what I want to drive. I'm living. Every time that I look at him, blessings overtake me. Because God, come on somebody, if you're a real witness, say, I ain't even asked yet, but it's on its way. I ain't even prayed yet, but it's on its way. If it's on its way, give your neighbor high five. Oh, you sanitize. Give your neighbor high five. It's on its way. It's on its way. All can lead, ready or not. God is about to bless you. Tell somebody. Every day that I get up, oh yes, new graces follow me. Every day that you get up, God already, somebody say, he worked it out. He worked it out. It's on his way, Chuck. It's on his way, Kamisha. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. But just wait on God. Stay right there and wait on God. I'm not trying to shout you. I'm too busy to shout myself. Because when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all. He knows. He knows. When I talk about the rewards of a final life. Shucks. Oh, shucks, y'all. When I talk about the rewards of a final life, let me just put it to you this way. Save yourself the pain. Don't hate on me. Hate on God. Because I'm just living in the rewards of a final life. 90% of what I got, I didn't even have sense enough to ask for. I was asking for stupid stuff. Have you ever been in the store and you say, Mama, and they give you this response, what you need that for? They know something. They know something. That's like a closed door. Now let me tell you something. I'm going to give testimony for you. You tried to get that out that was in you in a whole lot of other ways, and God shut all them doors, and the only door that was left was the heartstrings of love. Huh? But you wouldn't have went through the open door unless God had of closed some of them other doors that wasn't nothing but smoke screens. Won't the devil do that? He'll have you chasing after stupid stuff. Dumb stuff. Huh? He'll have, you know, I don't need you to help me tell me when I'm wrong. I already know when I'm wrong. And I know how to tell the devil when he been and got too close. Back up, bud. Come on, somebody. I'm living a final life. And don't y'all let anybody rob you of living that final life. Because people have a habit coming and offering you this, and they want to offer you that. Am I telling the truth? They'll offer you this. If you do this, you'll do that. Another scheme, another trick, another something. I'm waiting on God. Now, if you are an open door, somebody say, how do I know if you are an open door? It's because, number one, I ain't got to do nothing for you to do what you're supposed to do for me. You're going to do it, and I'm going to be wondering why you did it. Say it again. I ain't going to have to ask you to do it. If you got to ask for it, then God hadn't revealed to them that they're supposed to do it for you anyway. The folk that's doing stuff for me, I be wondering when they get through, oh, you didn't have no choice. Huh? See, when you ask, you asking amiss. That's what I'm trying to put in. And you putting your confidence, you'll come ask me because you think I'm good for $10. You ain't going to ask nobody that you don't think good for $10. You ain't going to ask them, man. I ain't finna ask them when they broke as I am. You on the speed dial because folks know you good for that. If you ain't good for that, you ain't on their speed dial. Now, if I know that you know that I'm good for that, I see you coming. And I'm going to attach some strings to everything that you come and ask me for. Because what I ask you for, you're going to have an expectation to get it back. But I want to say it one more time, when God got it for you. He going to give you favor. Somebody say yes. Huh? A whole lot of your debt that you're dealing with right now is because you're asking the wrong person and you're not being led. When God leads you, I'm going to get out your business. I'm going to get on out your business. I'm not in you, but I don't know your business. But I do know this, if God leads you, now can I get a witness? If God leads you, won't he take you? And the blessings of the Lord come without what? Without stress. Huh? And then you be running around making stuff look too easy. Now everybody's trying to mimic you. Trying to drive what you drive, live what you live in. And they don't realize I'm being led by God. See, Jock, you so cool, man. I can't be that cool. I be done said something. I ain't going to try be done said something, done something, give me a mic or something. You just be sitting there. You just be cool. People want to mimic you. They want to do that and they want to do that. But you need to have the rewards. He is a rewarder to those who do what? Diligently do what? Continue to seek him. Seek him. Seek him. As I look back over my life, I can see how your love has guided me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me. Come on, y'all say it. And you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of what? It's because of your mercy that we are not consumed. Because what? Because thy compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Help me say, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say it one more time. Let me get in with it. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loosed my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Turned my darkness into day. Been my joy in the time of sorrow. Hope. I'll see y'all next Sunday that are joining us on the Church Without Walls. Oh, we were so excited that you were here. Tell a neighbor to meet us here next Sunday at 11:30. I love y'all. I got that book on its way to Cleveland, Ohio. Samuel Hirth, God bless you. Hallelujah. I could never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loose my shackles and you, how you made.
How many came to bless them tonight? The song says, I praise you forever. Regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what we're going through, our praise will forever be in our mouth.
Lord, you are the air. Lord, you are the song I sing. I present a sacrifice of praise. Your love is so wonderful. It's amazing how you shed your blood and on the third day rose again. With my hands lifted up, Lord, I will yield myself to you. You deserve the glory. I surrender my
praise you forever.
I will give you all the praise.
present a sacrifice.
I present a sacrifice.